Okay, we're going to press the button.
Okay, good. Okay, tonight's class, we're going to do products.
Your favorite?
My favorite class is doing products. First of all, one thing we do accomplish in this class, some people learn the ABC, because we do go alphabetical order. So as we all know, a lot of people don't know the ABC. So at least one accomplishment is that they learn the ABC. Secondly, let me just give an introduction like this. When it comes to products on Pesach, there is no such thing, technically, as being too religious. Pesach, you can be as fanatic as you want. Providing, it doesn't cause fights. Because fights, anger, fighting, lack of shalom bayis, or just anger, according to every single opinion in the world, is biblically forbidden. If you eat this, or you eat that, or you don't eat this, or you eat the dairy, you don't eat processed, you do eat processed, that's all chumras, which are just above and beyond the letter of the law of strictnesses. So if you're asking what's worse, being strict with that, and therefore you're going to get angry into a fight, there's no question what the Torah wants you to do, you know. And it happens a lot of times, and I'm saying this as an introduction, a lot of times married people, you know, man marries woman, believe it or not. Now, the woman comes from one type of tradition, what they use. The man comes from a different tradition, what they use. This one's stricter, this one's more lenient. By the way, halachically, if you ask halacha, when a wife gets married, she follows the husband's traditions, whether it's stricter or more lenient. That means an American woman that marries a Sephardic man could eat rice and Pesach. If a Sephardic girl marries an American man, then they cannot eat rice and Pesach. Okay, because you follow the traditions of your husband. Now, that doesn't mean you're not allowed to keep your traditions if everybody's on the same page. So it's very important to know when it comes to products and Pesach, what you use and what you don't use. Every person in the house, at least the parents, have to be on the same page, what they're using, what they're not using. Another thing which is important to keep in mind, even though you don't want to use something yourself, doesn't mean your spouse and kids can't use it. Okay? Now, normally, and I'm using this as an introduction because it's very important to understand this concept. Where does these customs of Pesach come from? We mention this every year. Basically, Pesach is, this is what I did in my parents' home. What they did in their parents' home. Now, as everybody knows, if somebody is a Baal Tshuva, and they want to do what their parents did on Pesach, they'd be at McDonald's or Burger King. Okay? So obviously, when you become frum, okay, you have to pick and decide together with your spouse, you know, both sides, what guidance you need, what to be machmer on. Some things have absolutely no reason to be machmer if that wasn't your tradition. And we'll discuss certain cases. There's absolutely no reason to be machmer unless that was your tradition because of your parents' home. And you only do it because this is what your parents did. But if you don't have parents' tradition, then you have to pick. So I strongly suggest, if you want to know what you should be picking, you should speak to, and I mean this, a normal mashpia and a normal rav. Okay? I know guys that they were barely frum, and their shliach told them, no oil on Pesach, and your things fall on the floor, you put them away until they have to Pesach. I mean, they weren't even Shem Shabbos yet. But one thing they knew, oil is chametz. I mean, like, it's totally ridiculous. Okay? So you need to find out together what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, and just work it with that. What we're going to do now is I'm going to tell you things that are kosher for Pesach. With obviously, something that has a good, reliable hechsher for Pesach is good. I mean, if you want to use it, right? What we're doing tonight is going through, in alphabetical order, things that you don't need to spend extra money to buy the holy kosher stuff that doesn't work. Now you can buy the regular things, and you don't have to go crazy to buy very expensive things, and you know whatever. So we're going to go with for abdominal discomfort, which happens a lot during Pesach. Alka-Seltzer, Metamucil, not the wafers, Felix milk of magnesia. Some things, and also in these, especially when it comes to medications, are what's called kidneys. Kidneys are legume families that Ashkenazi Jews are not allowed to eat. But for somebody who's sick, halacha says you can have kidneys. Even if you're not that's leo, you can even have chametz. But a person who's not feeling well, can because a lot of medications are kidneys. But you're allowed to take them if you need them because you're ill. Otherwise you wouldn't be taking, you're not just popping Tums and Rolaids just for the fun of it. You know, so there's issues with, but you need to keep in mind if it's kidneys. Secondly, kidneys is only forbidden to eat. Even if Ashkenazi Jews. You're allowed to benefit from kidneys.
Not shampoo.
Huh?
Not shampoo, correct?
Shampoo, which is kidneys. I'll give you a simple example. Baby powder, which is cornstarch. If it's cornstarch, right? That's kidneys. Now, why are you allowed to use it on yourself or on a baby? You don't put it into your food, but you're allowed to use it. Why? Because you're not eating it, you're benefiting from it. Obviously, if you're going to use your hands and put on talcum powder or cornstarch powder, you better wash your hands in your bathroom sink before you touch food. You know, because otherwise you're getting, but otherwise there's no problem with that. Okay, by the way, Pepto-Bismol is good. Rolaids, just for the record, Rolaids has animal glycerin in its kidneys. Bicarbonate of soda is good. Zantac, not the liquid. Zantac pills are good. Tums are kidneys, but if somebody needs them, they could take them. Yeah, that's it for these things.
So I have a question. But when you say Rolaids has animal, what did you say?
Glycerin.
So kashrus doesn't matter as long as it's not, you know what I'm saying?
You're talking about for Pesach, or you're talking about year-round?
Even you're like year-round.
Well, there are leniencies in halacha that if it's medicinal, you can take it even if it's a little bit of a problem. Obviously, if you can get kosher antacids that are kosher year-round, you know, there's no problem with it. Another thing you need to keep in mind, to use an extreme case, chazer is trefa hoya, but it's not chametz. And just remember, pig is not chametz. It's treif, but chametz is stricter in a lot of dinim than regular treif and kosher. So the, okay. Air freshener, all of them are good. Alcohol, the isopropyl alcohol, you know, the synthetic alcohol is good. Almond milk, okay, a lot of the almond milks are kidneys. So therefore, almond milk can be used for kids. Let's say they don't drink milk and they drink almond milk instead. Those could be used because kids have a din of somebody who's sick, like all the baby formulas we'll get to. A lot of them are kidneys. Which are, again, for an adult, unless if they're sick, then they don't take it. But if for a kid, you could take it. If they're still taking and they need it, they still have a dinner of somebody who's sick.
Like almond milk meaning like from like a non-Jewish store or from?
No, I'm saying the ones with OU basically are, most of them are kidneys.
Really? But it's okay for children. They have almond milk and for him is hechser.
Again. Let's go. If it has a hechsher kosher lepesach, we're not talking about it. You don't need this class for that. You go read English. It says kosher lepesach. You can use it
but
if you want.
Make your own. You can make your own almond milk, right? Just with the almonds.
Yeah, but you have to
so it won't
do
be
it.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving out recipes. Those recipes I don't give out.
Okay.
They keep in my their family heirlooms. My recipes. I don't give them out.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Aluminum foil, aluminum pans. They're all. All the uncoated ones are good. And in roach spray, all of them are good.
What do you mean uncoated? How do I know?
Most of them are not coated. Some people are machmer, that if you have the aluminum trays, if you want, before you use them, is it put them to the oven, get them hot. You can, even in your Pesach, the oven, it's not a problem. You put it into your Pesach, the oven, get them hot, and then you use them.
So just wash them off?
You can wash it off also is good. Okay, anti-roach spray is good.
It has a label on it with a glue, with hot glue gun, like the...
Glue gun, most of them are not treif. We'll get to the glues in a second. Okay, tamza kidney is Zantac, Rolaids, like we said before, is animal glycerin and kidneys. Ammonia is good. Again, all the aluminum disposable containers are good. If they're not coated, you just wash them off or heat them up. Either one is good.
Would it say if it's coated?
Probably, what else you could feel it. Most of them are not coated. Okay, baby formula, most of them that have soy in it are kidneys. So again, they have to be prepared in separate dishes. You don't wash the bottles in the sink. You wash in the bathroom sink or the laundry room, whatever. You just don't do, hang it around your food. Okay, but isomer, all the main ones are good. Baby oil, all the pure baby oil is good. Baby ointment, like, Desitin, all the other ones are all good. Okay, baby medicine. By the way, Pedialyte, Pedasure, Temper, drops and tablets are not chomets. Now baby powder, what they read about baby, all the baby powders are good. Again, they might be kidneys, but just check in the ingredients if there's any oat flour. Because if there's oat flour, then it's really chomets. It's better not to use it.
In what? In powder?
In baby powder. Baby wipes, if there's no alcohol in the, you have to check the ingredients, make sure there's no alcohol in the baby wipes. Baking soda, not baking powder. Baking powder must have extra for Pesach. Baking soda is good, all the baking sodas. You need obviously new containers for all that. Balloons, believe it or not, if it doesn't have powder in it. Band-aids are good, all bleach is good. Body wash is good, boric acid is good. Okay, like breath strips that they have, you know, for fresh, a lot of them are kidneys. So therefore you are actually eating it because you do suck it and you, so they need to have a hechsher for Pesach. Candles, any pure unscent, what?
You mentioned body wash. So you used to say that Procter & Gamble, every product is okay? Is it still
that was years ago. I love Dafka today. I don't know. They don't make the blanket statements like they used to anymore.
So any body wash is okay?
Yeah.
No matter what brand?
Yeah. Candles, as long as they're unscented.
Every year or just this year?
B'chlal, nothing changed from last year. That's what I was told. So I can put on last year's tape and I can leave.
No.
But the questions are different. The alphabet, it's a little different. Okay, candles, any unscented candles are good. All cardboard is good. Carpet cleaners are good. Charcoal briquettes, here they write they're all good, including the flavored one. Cheese clauses are good. All the powdered cleanse, what?
I have this new barbecue. It has little pellets. So I have to show you what it looks like. It's like a smoker.
I don't know. You're going to show it to me. I still don't know what it is. Yeah.
So we weren't brought up with having a barbecue, but I just want to know.
Well, you didn't live in California when you grew up.
So I just want to know, is it something that we do? Like, do we do that?
People, not the first two nights of Pesach, you can't have roasted meat. But a lot of people barbecue during Chol HaMoed.
So it's fine.
Why not? Obviously, you can't use a chametz like a barbecue.
Right,
that's
right. You can't use your
grill. Okay, cheesecloth is all good. All the powdered cleansers like Ajax, fantastic. Okay, cocoa powder. I'm not talking about the sweetened ones. I'm talking about the baking cocoa. So they write, by the way, except for Hershey's special dark cocoa is not good. But the regular Hershey's cocoa, you know, that you bake with or whatever you do with it, that's okay, but it shouldn't be special dark. That's not good. Okay, coconut flour must have a hechsher. Coconut milk needs a hechsher for Pesach.
Is it kidneys?
What? It could be chametz also. Depends what else they put into it.
Salt and sugar in this section?
Huh?
Salt and sugar.
We're not there yet. We're by C. That's S. So
it would have to have an OUP on it?
It would need a hechsher for Pesach, yeah. Okay, coffee. The bigger problem is any coffee that is not decaffeinated and not flavored, a lot of them are good. Just to give you, I mean, here is a whole stack of them. Folgers, Instant, Nescafe Taster's Choice is good. But again, not decaf and not flavored. Obviously, if you have a decaffeinated coffee that has a good hechsher for Pesach, then obviously you could use it if you want to. If the beans, they write, if they're unflavored and not decaffeinated beans, you can make your own coffee. Obviously, you would need your own grinder with your own Pesach, I'm saying. You can't use the same one you use year-round.
It's so much better to buy the Hamish brand if you have a choice.
No. Listen.
It's easier.
Folgers OU is good. Nescafe Taster's Choice is good. All the coffee filters which are unflavored are good. Cold medication. Okay, children's cold, Tylenol, Excedrin, Nigs, Nicol, Vicks 44, Chapstick, cold sore therapy, Triminic, Blistic, Neosporin, Claritin, Afrin nasal spray, they're all good.
What number are we on?
Huh?
We're still on C.
On C. A, B, C.
Children.
Well,
I
don't know.
He's talking about children.
Yeah, children.
Okay,
okay.
Okay, conditioners are good. Contact lens fluid is good. Cooking spray, you know.
Any conditioner?
Yeah, but just don't eat it. Okay, Alpidin, even if it has oats in it, Alpidin is kosher because it's Nifsum Echidos Kelev. If you have any of these liquids that have oats in it, it's better not to use them.
There is a baby body wash that has oats in it.
So then you don't use that one. Okay. The crackpot liners are good. Cups. Okay. The best thing to use for cups is paper, plastic or styrofoam.
Yeah, plastic.
Some people write paper, but we're usually machmim on the paper not to use it. Dental floss. What, by the way, we started the letter D.
D, dental floss.
Yeah, dental floss. Okay, dental floss, any unflavored. It could be waxed, but not the flavored dental floss. And Bechlal, you have to get a new one for Pesach, because the other one is wrong.
What about those machines that are like water picks? Can you use the same one on Pesach, or do you need to get different?
Well, the picks you have to get new, because they're around Chumis the whole year. Okay. What?
The Nescafe Taster's Choice coffee they have is good. Does it have to say kosher for Pesach?
No. These are all without special hechsher for Pesach. Right. Okay, whatchamacallit? Okay, dental floss, any unflavored. Deodorants, all powders, solid stick powder may be used, like, Secret Shirt, Tom Right Guard, Axe is good, Old Spice body spray is good, basically all the laundry detergents, if you need to make a wash cholamid, all the powder ones are good.
But not liquid?
The liquid, yeah, it shouldn't be a problem. Just check, make sure there's no grain in there. Okay, dish detergent to wash your dishes. So the main ones, I'm talking about even the liquid detergents. Ajax, Amway, Cascade, Dawn, Ivy, Joy, Palmolive. You know, all of those, the regular ones with an OU is good. All diapers are good, believe it or not. Dried fruits must have a hechsher for Pesach. Okay, now with eggs, the story, E. Now, I'm teaching two things. It's teaching secular and Jewish studies simultaneously.
Thank you.
It's better than the schools. They do it separately.
Yeah.
Here we do it together.
Agreed.
Okay, good. Now, normal eggs are good for Pesach, but they have to be eggs that were laid before Pesach. It's not eggs that you have to buy before Pesach. There are people that are machmer, they don't buy anything during Pesach. They don't buy fruits and vegetables, they don't buy eggs, they don't buy anything like that. Halachically, there's nothing wrong buying vegetables, fruits and vegetables during Pesach. You're anyway going to peel them or wash them off or whatever it is anyway. There's no chametz, it's not your chametz, it's not a problem. Eggs and milk are two unique dinim. Eggs have to be eggs that were laid before Yom, not bought before Pesach. It has to be eggs that were laid before Pesach. So any of the, in the kosher stores, they all get the eggs from before Pesach, so even if you buy during Chol HaMoed, it's not a problem. In the big supermarkets, it's really hard to know how long it takes from the time the egg is laid until the store gets it. It can anyway be a few days, but whatever. The best thing is, When you go to the store, you need to make sure the eggs were laid before Pesach, and then you could get them, you can buy them during Pesach also, it's not a problem.
Huh? The kosher
stores, they better know. I don't know if the store knows. The mashkir better know.
I wouldn't think that
they know.
I think they just buy all of them before Pesach.
Most of them buy them before Pesach. The milk, by the way, is delivered. The Chol Yisrael milk a lot of times delivered in the middle of Pesach, but it was all milked before Pesach. It was just kept in the vats, in refrigerated vats, until they just sell them again during Chol HaMoed. So the Chol Yisrael milk, any milk that you buy, was definitely milked before Pesach. Let me just explain for a second the reason why the milk and eggs is an issue. When a cow gives milk, or a chicken lays eggs, okay, there are two things that make it happen. They eat food, plus the body of the cow. So in order for a cow to produce milk, it has to eat food, plus the body of the cow produces milk. Sometimes what they're eating during Pesach is chametz stick. That's what the cows eat during Pesach. They eat whatever they eat, right? They're not a kosher company. It's a goyish farm. They eat chametz. So there's a din in halacha that's called zeh v'zeh gorim. If A and B cause C to happen, and A or B is chametz stick, does that make a problem for C? So for instance, the milk you buy was produced through chametz stick of food that the cow ate, plus the body of the cow. So does that make a problem with the milk? Or same with the eggs. The chicken lays the egg, but the chicken had to eat in order to produce the egg. So now the question is, even if they ate chametz, is that a problem as far as the outcome, meaning the milk or the eggs? So therefore, halachically, you're supposed to buy it all, milk and eggs, before Pesach.
But they've already been eating all that stuff prior to. Why does that make it okay?
Before Pesach's not a problem. Because it's not forbidden yet.
Oh, okay. Once
chametz comes in Pesach, it's forbidden in any amount.
Okay,
fabric softener is all good. Face powder is all good. Fish. Okay, bottom line, you should buy fish with a hechsher for Pesach. Again, some people, they write like this. The Kirkland Signature frozen skinless Atlantic salmon with an OU. They write is really good for Pesach. But you know what? For Pesach, listen to me. For this crowd, Pesach, you buy fish from a kosher market. Okay. That's the best thing to do.
Okay.
But that's everything, no?
No. Why should you spend more money if you can get it cheaper in Costco or in the regular store? And so miss it to spend money. If you wanted to have something to do with the money, I'll tell you. Okay. Fruits, frozen foods. They're right if it's nothing in it, but we don't do that. Okay, furniture polish is good. All garbage bags are good.
Even if it's scented?
Yeah. By the way, believe it or not, you know gasoline has ethanol in it?
Yes.
Which is kidneyous. But, I hope you don't eat your gas. The gasoline. So it's not a problem. Okay, glass cleaner, they're all good, but in Windex, the mushroom, for instance, Windex, just have to make sure it doesn't say vinegar. It's the vinegar without the vinegar.
The SD, fresh dill, is okay or not?
Again, when it comes to fruits and vegetables, a lot of people are strict that if they don't peel it, they don't use it.
Dill?
She's talking about herbs.
If you don't peel it, you don't use it.
I'm a second generation American.
Got it.
I know what dill is. Now, dill is something, a lot of people have a custom on Pesach, there's something you can't peel, we don't use. I'm not saying you're not allowed to. Many people have a custom that because we don't know what touched the peel, so in many circles, the custom is something that you don't peel, we don't eat. That doesn't mean that it's chametz. It doesn't mean if you wash it off well. Okay, I'm not saying it is or isn't. I don't know. Some people will cook with peels before Pesach, but not during Pesach. In other words, there are people, I'm not saying what you should do or not, because I don't say by Pesach what you should do or not. Many people will cook before Pesach using regular sugar without cooking it over, or they'll cook food with peels on it. Why is that different? Because the din is like this. You know why do people cook over sugar? Even though apidin, you really don't have to at all. There's really not a problem halachically with sugar. It's a minig, kabbalistic, and the Rebbe himself writes, he doesn't know if it applies to everybody not using sugar on Pesach. But there's a din like this. Chametz before Pesach. It's very important to understand for all these things. A lot of medicines and things we'll talk about. A lot, before Pesach, you know, like, treif and kosher, we mentioned last week, is nullified 1 in 60. Meat and milk is nullified 1 in 60. Chametz on Pesach is never nullified. You can have 1 ounce of chametz falls into 100 gallons of chicken soup, and Pesach is going to make the whole thing chametz. But the din is, before Pesach, chametz is nullified 1 in 60. That's the din. Chametz before Pesach is nullified 1 in 60. But, and here's where the but comes in, according to many opinions, if it's a dry substance that was nullified before Pesach, 1 in 60, reawakens itself, and Allah has called Chayza Venir, it reawakens itself during Pesach. So now it's not going to be nullified. But if it's liquid, once it's nullified before Pesach, the halacha is it remains nullified. Now, let's take this as the example for sugar. I know we're going to S. I know. But what is the fear of not using sugar, which is really halachically very ridiculous? Because there's absolutely... Have anybody ever find grain wheat in sugar? No. Okay. 100 years ago, they also didn't find it. Only if it was Mamish near a farm where they... Okay, so now like this. So sugar is a dry substance. What are we afraid of? Maybe there's some chametz in it somewhere. Right? So during Pesach, it's not going to become nullified. But by cooking over the sugar, you make it into a liquid. Which means even if there was one in a... Almost like winning the lottery. One in a 250 million chance that you might find a piece of wheat in there. So even then, you make it into a liquid. It's nullified 1 in 60 before Pesach, and it remains nullified during Pesach. Yeah, but there's a lot of times people have to do medications and stuff. If they nullify it before Pesach, in liquids, if they nullify it before Pesach, then it's not going to be a problem during Pesach. But to do it during Pesach is a bigger problem. So that's why some people will cook with peels before Pesach. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm just saying what people do. They cook with peels before Pesach. What are we afraid of? Maybe there's something on the peel. First of all, you wash it off. Secondly, even if there is, but if you're cooking it before Pesach, then it became nullified 1 in 60 and it stays nullified. But some people do, some people don't. It's up to everybody's individual
thing. What is the specific thing about sugar? For example, we don't cook salt. Why is it something with sugar that we cook?
That's why I said halachically it's more okay. The Rabbeim didn't use sugar on Pesach, not regular, not cooked. Even the wines they had were without sugar. The Rabbeim didn't use sugar. The Rabbi writes clearly in a letter, it's printed, this was the minig of Rabbi Seinu Nisiyenu, the minig of the Rabbeim. I don't know if it applies to everybody else. The Rabbi seems to imply it probably doesn't apply to everybody else. There's a famous story with the Rabbi Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab didn't eat sugar on Pesach, like the Rebbeim didn't. The Rebbe Rashab had a brother-in-law by the name of Mendel Hardenstein, who married the Rebbe Rashab's sister. Okay? Famous Mendel Hardenstein. And he had a sugar factory. And he told the Rebbe Rashab, I promise you, I will make you sugar on Pesach without any, nothing, no doubts at all. Okay? So first the Rebbe Rashab said, no, he kept bugging him. He said, okay, make me sugar. He brings him a bag of sugar before Pesach. Story is, the Rebbe Rashab opened the bag of sugar, and right on top was a wheat in the bag. The wheat wasn't there before, I promise you. Okay? The Rebbe Rashab proved the point, but that's the Rebbe Shemaisa. So why don't we cook over salt? You don't have to cook over sugar either. It just became a minig, what they did. By the way, we're past these, so let me tell you. There were people, our people, were people, that don't use dairy on Pesach. Why? Because in their homes, in the grandparents' home, the great-grandparents' home, they didn't use dairy on Pesach. Why didn't they use dairy on Pesach? One of the main reasons was a very practical reason. You have to buy the milk before Pesach, correct? You can't milk a cow on Pesach to get milk. You have to milk the cow before Pesach. The thing called refrigerators didn't exist. Pesach was warm outside. Okay. So you buy the milk a day before Pesach, let's say 2 days before Pesach. How long did that milk without refrigeration last? They used to milk the cows every day and get milk. How long would milk last without refrigeration? 2 days, 3 days max. Now, in addition to that, Pesach is 8 days. Yeah? You have 2 days Yom Tov at the beginning, 2 days Yom Tov at the end, and many times the Shabbos in the middle, which is 5 days basically of no milchiks anyway. You're eating fleishiks, right? So number one, they didn't have enough, they barely had enough money for fleishik dishes. Where are they going to get money to buy a second set of dishes that they needed maybe for 2-3 days? And plus, the problem was the milk wouldn't last. So therefore, they had a minute, they didn't eat dairy on Pesach. Not because necessarily there's a, in addition to the fact it was processed. But besides that, it was very practical that they didn't eat dairy. So what happened? It became a minig. We don't eat dairy on Pesach. From that went to their kids and to their kids and their kids. So if you're doing that tradition, that's fine. But somebody who becomes new to Yiddishkeit, there's absolutely no reason why they shouldn't eat dairy. The Rebbe eat dairy on Pesach. The Rebbe eat, the Rebbe eat milchiks on Pesach. It's known. So if that was your tradition from the, like they say, from the Reim, from the old home, you know, in Europe, fine. But Stam, you know, it's the same thing with cooking sugar. People do it, they do it. Because the minig, if you cook sugar. I mean, and same thing with oil. Yeah? Oil, I know we're jumping the gun on. Personally, I know people use shmalt. Personally, beside the health issue, you know, the fats. Personally, I believe there's a bigger problem with shmalt than with oil. Why? Because schmaltz is the fat of the chicken. You know what the chicken goes into? Okay? So how do you know there's no chametz in between? Yeah, you check it before Pesach. But in oil, there's absolutely no chametz even possible to be in there. So I'm not saying if you have a tradition you don't use oil, fine, don't use oil. But I'm saying there's a reason. Why did they use schmaltz in the olden days? Because they didn't have kosher oil. So what did they use for cooking? They use schmaltz, which is fat, you know, the fat.
Yeah, there was no olive oil. So does it was growing up in Ukraine.
So they didn't have anything, so what did they use? They used schmaltz. What? What?
I had the extra.
Oil we'll get to.
Okay.
No, we're not, we didn't get, do me a favor. Would nobody say what I didn't say yet? Because you don't know what I'm going to say.
Okay, we'll wait.
Good. Okay, hairspray is good. By the way, they write, Advil did not film-coated one for headaches, yeah, fever. Advil did not film-coated ones, Bayer, Aspirin, Motrin, Tylenol tablets or caplets. Tylenol says good. Tablets or caplets.
So the liquid ones would not be good for Pesach.
The liquid Tylenols they said before was good. Fantastic. Glass plus, Lysol, sunlight, those are all good. Any unflavored ice? If you want to go to the store and buy ice? You can buy any of those. Anything that doesn't have any flavor to it. The formulas we spoke about already. You know, juice. Okay, juice. Tylenol is good. Juice, you really should get, unless you make your own juice, like a lot of people do, but you should really buy juice that has a hechsher for Pesach. Don't buy ones that, okay, what else here? Laundry detergent, so, by the way, lemon juice, I know people have a minute of making their own lemon juice, but the real lemon juice, with an OU, they write is good. I'm not saying you should use it or not, I'm just telling you to say it's good.
And it comes in a bottle.
Lime juice, real lime. Yeah, it comes in a bottle with an OU on it. Liqueur, it's interesting. There is a minig not to eat, not to drink. In Chabad, we have a minig. We don't drink liqueur on Pesach, even if it's 100% Hechsher for Pesach. Mm-hmm. It's more, huh?
No, hardly.
I said.
You said liqueur. Not liquor, but liqueur.
Liqueur, I'm sorry. Liquor, liqueur. First of all, a lot of liquor is chomistic. You won't find, you find more liqueurs kosher lePesach than liquor kosher lePesach. But even if, yeah, we don't, it's really a reason without a reason. Just like some said, we don't eat radishes on Pesach. Just whatever we don't eat. There's an interesting vart, I don't know if it's in the Magrib or somebody else, that why don't we drink liquor or liqueur on Pesach, even if it's kosher lePesach? So he said, because matzah, the second night is food of healing. The first night, matzah is the food of emunah, a belief. Second night, matzah is the food of healing. And everybody knows, this is what the Gedolim said, the Chassidish Rebbes. Everybody knows, when you take medicine, you don't take alcohol. So because matzah is healing, medicine, so you don't take...
The first night is emunah, second night is healing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. First night is emunah, second night healing. Okay, Ms. Gary is good, meats you have to buy. By the way, a bunch of people call me, I don't know from where, they call me, the meat I buy a whole year is the kosher lePesach. I said, like, how am I supposed to know? Because a lot of stores, by the way, no, some companies, some of the big companies, keep it kosher lePesach a whole year.
Really?
They do, but not everybody does, and especially today what's repackaged in the kosher markets, you have to make sure that the meat is kosher lePesach. Just because you bought it a month ago, 2 months ago, doesn't mean it's kosher lePesach. You have to find out from the store, if you trust the mashgiach, that the meat that you have from before is kosher lePesach. But you have to find out. They can't tell you what it is. Okay, milk, we said you have to buy before Pesach. By the way, milk, even if you don't keep Chol Yisrael a whole year, you really should keep Chol Yisrael on Pesach. Because they also add vitamins into the milk that could be problematic. So even if you don't keep Chol Yisrael a whole year, for Pesach you have to keep Chol Yisrael. Mouthwash is Scope, Listerine, Tamsamain, Colgate, the Crest toothpaste and mouthwash don't have on the list. There's one Crest toothpaste they bring down on one of the lists. There's a Hechsher from the Besdin in London. So if you want Crest toothpaste, fly to London. You'll probably find it there, and then either stay in London or come home. But Crest, not the mouthwash, not the toothpaste. By the way, when you use, while we're on this topic,
no Crest.
Colgate is good. Tamsamain, Amway.
All Colgate.
Pepsodent. Yeah, all Colgates are good.
How about Sensodyne?
Sensodyne is also good. Not in this list, but in the other list. Don't forget, though, that you need to have a new toothbrush for Pesach. You can't use old toothbrush with chametz stick. And you can't use a toothpaste, even if it was kosher lePesach, that you use the whole year. Because, obviously, it's touching the toothbrush, which is... So you need all that new. Okay, nail polish remover, all of them is good. All napkins are good. Nuts... The best thing with nuts, even though I have no BHD, BHA, the best thing is, if you don't want to crack your own nuts, there's kosher companies that have the kosher nuts, and if you want to do that, that's really the way to go. Okay.
You say also there that Costco specifically Kirkland brand, without even wrong?
Yeah, but it's not, different which type, by the way.
The Kirkland
raw walnuts is good.
Walnuts and almonds?
Kirkland raw almonds. I said almonds. That's all they bring down is good. Raw. Raw almonds.
Almonds or walnuts?
Almonds.
Almonds.
I said walnuts.
You said both. Wait,
I did not. I said raw walnuts.
Yeah, he didn't say almonds. He said
other people said it for me. I didn't say what.
So the almonds have a
Hechsher.
Raw.
you know, trying to make more and more things from scratch at home. And those that are not, they're like leaning towards not having any dairy, if you make almond milk, it's a, you know, it can be a big pain.
Yeah, but you have to know if it's kosher to Pesach.
No, but so is this, if you buy a brand new thing, a brand new...
yeah, but you have to know if that thing is kosher to Pesach.
Even if it's like stainless steel, like... I guess I can...
talk about the ingredients.
The
no, it's the machine. It's a machine. It's
the machine, if it's brand new, is fine.
Yeah, so you put... So you
bring it to the mikveh.
...inside, and like literally within two almonds or cashews or whatever you want, any nuts, and within minutes you add water and any sweetener if you want, and it makes like a gallon of almond milk within like 10 minutes.
Okay.
It's called almond towel.
Okay. Oils. Shh.
Did he do paper towel yet?
No.
Oh, but wait. We have one more question about the nuts.
After the oil is paper towel.
We're still on the nuts.
What?
It's only the raw walnuts that you could get there.
Yeah.
Not the almonds.
No.
Almonds okay. Need a head.
It doesn't say here.
Okay.
Okay, now, oil. Those that use oil. Okay, so you can get the kosher Pesach oils. By the way, it's interesting. Cottonseed oil, ingredients, cottonseed. Vegetable oil, ingredients, cottonseed. That's right, it's funny.
Must be a vegetable.
It's all the same.
The containers say vegetable oil. If you look on the ingredients, it says cotton. Somebody showed it to me. Cottonseed. If you look at the cottonseed oils, ingredients, cottonseed. Why is this called vegetable and this is called cottonseed? I don't know.
One sounds like
one's cheaper.
The
I remember you saying
then buy the cheaper one. Now the OU, one second. The OU extra virgin olive oil. Extra virgin olive oil that has an OU, not OUP, has an OU. The OU says they're all kosher LePesach. The Starkey says not all of them, some of them, because they have their own companies too. So I don't know, if you can get that one that has taka with a P on it, or like the Bombayne, whatever. But according to the OU, any extra virgin, but only extra virgin. Extra virgin olive oil with an OU must have a heksher though. If it has an OU, it doesn't need a heksher for Pesach. All the other oils must have a proper heksher for Pesach.
So, OU list the things that you could buy without Pesach. They can list Kirkland, both almonds and walnuts.
Okay.
He said no.
Well, I'm just reading what it says on this list.
Yeah, I'm just...
Okay.
Other opinions.
Did it say no, it's not other opinions. It just means all the books don't bring down everything.
Okay,
if the OU book says, I have the OU book, not here. If it says it's good, it's fine. But raw, it has to be raw. Can it be, okay.
Good.
Next, oven cleaners, like Easy Off, all that is good. Pain medication, again, Bufferin, Excedrin, Motrin, Tylenol Plus. Paper cup.
You said Tylenol liquid is okay?
Yeah. Yeah, but Tylenol liquid is usually for kids. Okay, paper cups, again, styrofoam or plastic. Okay, paper.
Styrofoam bowls is fine also then?
All styrofoam is good. There might be trafe, but they're good.
But paper's not
poisonous. Paper's
definitely poisonous. Yeah, toxic.
I promise you, you use them for 120 years, you live long.
And the plastic plates, the disposable, those are fine.
All the plastic stuff, whether it's plates,
whatever,
cups, bags, they're all good.
There's a problem with paper.
Paper towel, yeah, because paper has a starch. So even with paper towel, they write like this. The first three sheets and the last sheet may contain kidneys glue, should not be used with hot foods. If you use the one that have the half sheets, you know, paper towel with the half sheets, so then it is the first four and the last two.
Okay.
Now, some people, and again, more and more, they're finding out it's not really a problem. A lot of people want to use paper towel when they make, like, latkes or schnitzel. They want to use paper towel to get off the excess oil.
Mm-hmm.
Halachically, it's not a problem. Some people are machmir, but apidin, it's not a problem. There might be only kidneys in the first few sheets, and the last few sheets, and it's not really a problem with anything of chometz in it.
So for the large sheets, it's the first three and the last three. For the small sheets?
No. The first, for the big sheets, it's first three, last one.
Okay.
Half sheets, the first four and the last two. Okay, plastic plates are good. Plastic containers are good. Plastic
any
bag.
Brand paper towels is okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
Every year it's different because if it's not different, they don't have to print the books again. Okay. Poultry, again. Poultry is like meat. You need to buy it from a reliable place. Chicken and meat and all that. What else? Rubber gloves. You should write, they write, you should get the uncoated ones. Like Playtex, Rubbermaid are all uncoated. If you have gloves that are coated, what they tell you to do is turn them inside out, wash off the coating. Because okay. There's a starch in there.
Okay.
Salt, you should get either the kosher companies or OUP or something like that. Because iodized salt could be a problem of kidney or sometimes even chametz. But you need, you know, a hechsher on the salt. Sandwich bags are good. Sanitizer are good. Scouring pads and powders that don't have the soap on it. All shampoos are good. And again, they're going with the heter. It's not edible for dogs. Shoe polish is good. Silver polish, all the kosher brands are good. It means anything that has a hechsher. Spices, you really should buy spices with a hechsher. All sponges without soap. Steel wool without soap. All sternos are good, by the way. Straws, all plastic straws that they're banning in LA anyway. But meanwhile, until they ban them, you can use them. Styrofoam products are all good. Okay. Sugar, plain white granulated sugar like CNH or all of those. Plain white granulated sugar is all fine. Even if it doesn't have a hechsher. Okay. Make sure there's no dextrose in it, like CNH, Vons, Pavilions, Albertsons, Kroger, Smart and Final. Okay. Suntan lotion medications are all good. Sweeteners. By the way, you know, you use, let's say, during the year, Splenda or all those. You must have, they're no good for Pesach. You must get, they make sweeteners now, the kosher stores have them, the sweeteners, either tablets, to get from Etch's store, also they make these saccharin with, or ones that have a hechsher, but the sugar substitutes must have a hechsher for Pesach. Otherwise they're no good.
One question, regular sugar during the year doesn't need a hechsher?
No.
You don't need, no? Not even OU?
During the year?
Uh-huh.
Nope.
Is it better to buy the brand?
What does the word better mean? I don't know what the word better means.
More better
Yeah, it's more expensive. Is buying something that's more expensive better?
No.
That's the, they're paraphrasing your question.
Yeah.
Not. Okay. Tablecloths. Plastic tablecloths. All, again, all the plastics. They write, make sure there's no powder in it.
Sometimes they put oil on vegetables.
Plastic.
Where?
They put toluene on vegetables and fruits.
That's why you peel them. And that's why you wash them off and you peel them. Tea bags, basically any unflavored regular, not decaf. Okay? Here he writes on tea bags, regular tea bags that are unflavored and not decaffeinated and have no fillers, just a chicory of that, can be used with Pesach without a hechsher. Like Lipton tea, Sweet Touch Need, I mean the regular old-fashioned style. Now, in the kosher stores, they have a lot of flavored decaf teas with good hechsherim. So again, that's not an issue. Talking about the ones without a hechsher.
You say without an OU or without a...
Without any hechsher.
Without a hechsher.
Okay, obviously, toilet tissues, is all good. Toothbrushes are all good. Here they bring down for toothpaste, AIM, Arm & Hammer, Colgate, Close-Up, Mentadin, Orajel, Pepsodent, Ultra-Bright. Toothpicks, any unflavored toothpicks are good. By the way, same thing with dental floss. Did we say dental floss
before?
Yeah. Okay, no flavor, just Vegetables, we said. Vinegar, obviously, must have a hechsher for Pesach. Bottled water. Any bottled water that's not flavored, plain. Sparklets, what do you call it? Arrowhead.
Crystal guys.
Anyone you buy in the store, plain water, is fine. Okay. It doesn't need a hechsher.
What about the mineral waters? Like the Trader Joe, the Pellegrino is an OUP on it. Right?
If the minerals are natural minerals, yeah, most of those that are good really have a hechsher on it.
Yeah. How about if it is sparkling water?
Sparkling water would need a hechsher.
Would need?
Yeah, unless if it's like Perrier, which is natural sparkling. Because a lot of times, like, for instance, seltzer, one second, seltzer, they write, any unflavored seltzer is good. Club soda is made differently and it's not good. Unless if it has a, what?
That's a question. What if on Pesach you're renting a house, renting a house, and that's not your house, and there's chametz or whatever, but it's not like your house, like you're just staying there.
Or for that matter, any time you go to a hotel, now in the refrigerator of the hotel, or in the, they have a bar, they have things that you buy, you use, you pay for it. It's not a problem because it's not yours. What you need to do though, you need to cover it. That you shouldn't.
Right, so if it's all hidden away, you don't.
It's hidden away and it's covered, it's not a problem at all. Okay, that's, I mean, now there's a whole bunch of things that have reliable supervision, but that we don't have to go through. If there's proper supervision, it's good. Now, okay, if people have any questions about any particular things or products or medications, we can discuss it now.
Yeah, what about prenatal vitamins?
I know that massa should not touch water before eating, but if you are making tomato sauce goes on matzah. It is also any matzah bread, whatever you call it, that makes it chametz.
It doesn't make it chametz, God forbid. Those people that don't keep gebrug, I mean, they do eat matzah, they're not eating chametz on Pesach. We are fanatically strict about it, but not getting matzah wet. Now, whether, and these questions come up every year, can I have matzah with cream cheese? Can I have matzah with avocado? Can I have matzah with, cheese?
Salsa.
Cucumbers.
Matzah with salsa.
Okay. So that's why people that are very careful in Gebrucks won't eat matzah with salsa. Some of them will put cheese because the cheese is completely dry. Avocado is not water, it's natural
oil
of the avocado itself. So again, are there people that do it? Yeah. Is it gebrox? Technically not. But a lot of people wouldn't do it. So, again, if somebody does it, you don't stone them. But if you want to be machmir, then you don't do it. Some people do, some people don't.
Is there another class where we're going to cover gebrox this year that is sold on Sunday after Shabbos?
Probably next week, but we can talk about it now because, you know, okay, just a few things that you have to keep in mind. Number one, don't forget to sell your chametz. Yeah, we could do it afterwards tonight. Don't forget you have to deal with your garbage cans. Okay? Now, when you have your garbage pickup, don't tell me which day it is. It doesn't really matter. The last day of your Pesach, of your pickup that's before Pesach, they empty out the garbage can, right? Hopefully. You have to clean out your garbage can. It's yours. If it's yours. In the mushroom Beverly Hills, they belong to the city. They're not yours. They're not even inside your yard. They're outside the yard. They belong to the city. You're not responsible for them. So it's not a problem if you dump chametz in there. But your own garbage cans, like in LA, where they're your garbage cans, you have to take them out to the street. You have to bring them back, you know, to your yard or whatever. So after the last pickup, you have to make sure the garbage can is clean, because you can't have chametz, even though it's junk, but it's still.
We live in an apartment building.
One second, let me just finish this point. One second. So you have to clean out the garbage can. From that time on, you can't put chametz thicker garbage in your garbage can. So let's say you pick up his next Wednesday, right? Wednesday before Pesach. You still have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So for those 3 days, you have to make sure that you don't put chametz like a garbage in your garbage can. So what do? You separate your chametz, like recycle the chametz stuff. The things that are chametz, you put into a plastic bag and dump it somewhere else. You can't dump it into... Yeah, I mentioned it tonight to the man. So one guy started laughing. You're not allowed to do that. I said, you're only not allowed to do it if you get caught.
So true.
You don't get caught. I thought the sin of stealing is not stealing. It's getting caught, right?
Yeah.
If you don't get caught, what's the problem? But they have city garbage cans. You can dispose of it in a way that it's not yours.
I have one by Ralph before.
People that live in apartment buildings with the
garbage. Building that is owned by another Jew. Technically, if I don't pay for the garbage, it's the garbage company that...
Well, you probably do pay for the garbage anyway, but you're not responsible for the garbage can.
And what if somebody puts garbage in your...
If it's not... One second. If it's... If you're not responsible for the garbage, then it doesn't matter. But if it's in your yard and you take it to the front, you take it to the back, then you have an issue with it. But I'm saying if it's in the back...
Of the yard, but
no. Then it's not a problem.
It's a big container.
Then you dump it there, it's not a problem. What?
If somebody puts garbage in your garbage can, like, you know, they just ran. I do that. Like you said, I go around and put garbage sometimes with people.
Oh, that's so, I saw the garbage in my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do it on Facebook. So what do you do? Like you said, I just put things in my garbage can somehow.
Okay.
But isn't that why you sell your house?
What happens, you mentioned this many times already, 1 year in Long Beach about 30 years ago, they were giving out samples. Kellogg's or Post was giving out cereal samples, like Cheerios or any of these chametz stick or things. And everybody on Pesach got in the mailbox cereals. Inevitably, and I get this shot, I'm not exaggerating, every year I get it during Pesach, somebody who sent Shalach Manos via UPS, FedEx, or whatever it is, it shows up, somehow what's the Murphy's Law?
Yeah.
Inevitably, it's going to show up in somebody's house in Pesach. Okay? Now, so what do? The same thing with the garbage can, with your thing. It's very simple. You can't acquire something you don't want to. Okay? I'll give you an example. Somebody was in New York for the first days. Okay? And then they come back to L.A. for the last days. Okay? So they sold the chametz in New York. Correct? When the Rav in New York buys back the chametz in New York, it's 3 hours still during Pesach here. Correct?
Okay.
They buy back the chametz right after Pesach. Here it's 3 hours earlier, we're still in the middle of Yom Tov. So the Rav buys back your chametz for you, but it's not a problem. Because I don't have to acquire something I don't want to. I don't want to acquire the chametz he bought back for me until after Yom Tov. After Yom Tov, I'll acquire it. Nobody can force you to acquire something that you don't want to. If you have stuff in the hotel room that you go to that's chametz, or somebody dumps chametz in your garbage can, it really doesn't matter. It's not yours and you don't want it. The problem is, let me explain to you a lot of times, you have family members or friends that are not from, you invite them for the Seder, or you invite them for a meal.
They bring mashke.
And they bring, well, all the Russians go to the public Seder with vodka in their pockets, right?
Somebody showed up at my house.
Yeah. Okay, so what do? They bring you, they mean well, you know, they bought it from a kosher bakery, but it was chametz stick or something, or whatever, something chametz stick. So you have to tell them in a very polite way, but you have no choice. I'm sorry, I can't accept it. Please take it back. So you're never accepting it. Even though they brought it into your house.
Right.
But if you're not accepting it, it's not yours. Chametz is forbidden to see and own if it's yours. If it's not yours, somebody else has chametz you're allowed to see.
I think someone else is a Jew.
I understand, but you can't... first of all, they have it already.
It's theirs.
It's theirs. They're having it. It's not every second again. So, but for you, you can't acquire it, because then it becomes yours.
So say somebody, like I had, every year I have people asking me if they could come to our house for Pesach if we're like going away. And I'm like, well, my house is totally chametz, like, how can you do that? And they're like, well, we're just going to be in the room, we're not going to go in the kitchen or anything like that.
Well, they have to clean up their room, and the other house can't have chametz all over the place. Another thing I want to mention, I know next week, I don't know what's going to, so I'll mention things this week already. The issue of having a non-Jew at the Seder. There's a misconception that you're not allowed to have a goy at the Seder. It's a misconception because it's not true. You can't have a non-Jew at a Yom Tov meal, period. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, there's no meal. You're not allowed to have a goy on a Yom Tov where you're allowed to cook, but you're only allowed to cook the process of Lachem, you're only allowed to cook for Jews. You're not allowed to cook for a non-Jew on Yom Tov. Therefore, the din is, you're not allowed to invite a non-Jew on Yom Tov, not because it's a Seder, or because you can't have a non-Jew at the meal. If they pop in, they show up, you're allowed to feed them. But you can't invite them. A lot of times it happens, you have mixed couples, intermarried couples, and they say, can I come and can I bring my spouse? Right? Who's not Jewish. So the way to do it is you say, we would love to have you. You mean singular, they, you means plural. So therefore you're inviting the Jew, they're bringing the, once they come to the house, one second, you're allowed to feed them. It's nothing to do with a Seder. Therefore this year, the first Seder is Friday night. Halachically, I'm not saying it's a mitzvah to do, by the way. Halachically, you can have a goy at your Seder. So if you have to invite a mixed couple or whatever that you need to invite them, the relatives or whatever it is, this year you should invite them the first Seder because it's not a problem because it's Shabbos. Shabbos, you could invite a non-Jew to your table because you can't cook anyway. It has nothing to do with the Seder. It has to do with the dinner of Shabbos and Yom Tov. And cooking. Yeah, but Shabbos you can't cook anyway.
Right.
So that's the issue with having non-Jewish people at the Seder. With what?
So I had it once where a non-Jew showed up and after the meal says, can I have a cup of tea? Which would require me to get up and boil water for them.
The water's boiled already? You'd have to boil water for him.
Probably boil water. It's on Yom Tov.
I'll be din. Once he's there already, he could do it.
Once is there, so I ask if anybody else wants to, and I just added them all water.
Okay, that's fine. So once he's there already, you can feed them. Okay, for the last season, you need to make an Eretz Tavshilin this year, because it's Friday going into Shabbos. What?
Gebrachs.
Gebrachs we spoke about.
Baking soda. How come baking soda is kosher?
There's nothing in it that's chametz stick.
But it makes everything right.
No, baking powder does. No. Not baking powder. Baking powder does. Baking soda does.
What about prenatal vitamins?
Prenatal vitamins,
if you speak,
first of all, if they have a hechsher, call the hechsher if they're good for patients. They're probably kidneys. I've spoken to many OBGYNs in many years, and unless if it's a high-risk pregnancy, I'm not dealing with that. Every doctor will tell you for a week without the prenatals is not an issue at all. They laugh. It's not an issue. You take it before, you take it after. And for the week, you really don't need it. And again, if it's high risk, you speak to your doctor. I'm not taking the responsibility.
Vitamin D
could be chametz. People that are taking medication that they need to take, blood pressure, heart conditions, things like that, thyroid medication, that they have to take. Bechlau, generally speaking, pills, if they're not chewable, and they're not liquid, and they're not powder, is a very schwacher problem. It's a very small problem. You're not eating it. Max, it could be kidneys maybe, but again, if you're taking it, you need it. But again, things that you don't need to take, the multivitamins, yeah? You live a week without it. What's the big deal? I mean, nothing's going to happen if you don't take a multivitamin for a few days. Yeah?
I was going to ask you about
kosher Pesach vitamins from the kosher website, but the only thing is I forgot to put it in my Pesach box last year, and I left it in like my vitamin cabinet. Is it okay to...
Yeah, you could take it, just swipe it off and use it. Gebrachs for the last day, okay, Chabad we eat gebrachs the last day, this year is Shabbos. Shabbos you can't make gebrachs. So the minig is, and the din is, you make gebrachs on Friday, you need to make Erev Tavshilin, then you're allowed to cook on Shabbos for Friday for Shabbos. Our minig is that we make gebrachs Friday, We don't eat it. We use separate kalim that we don't use for the rest of that Pesach. We make a brox on Friday, and we eat it on Shabbos. There's a story with the Rebbe. They once didn't know what to do. They didn't make a brox. And because this set up Friday and Shabbos, they didn't make a brox. And the Rebbe, by the last day of Yom Tov, said, where's the gebrox? So they said, we couldn't make it because it wasn't, and the Rebbe, like, knocked it off. So, bro, the minig is you make a brox on Friday, the last Friday for Yom Tov, for the last day of Yom Tov.
So if you, let's say, grind your matzah in the food processor, obviously you have to do it way before Friday, or things like knedelach. So
just not use it, don't wash it, just keep it separate. You can make matzah mel before
Pesach yet. You could make it before Pesach?
Just matzah mel.
Yeah.
All you're doing is grinding up matzah, what's wrong with it?
And then you're washing.
Can you make knedelah before Pesach?
No. Okay. What are you going to do with it?
Freeze it.
For the week. Huh?
Freeze it.
Freeze it and take it out and go. Yeah, but we don't want to have kibrochs in the house.
Okay. Matzah ball is definitely not.
What?
Matzah ball soup is definitely not.
In our, we don't.
Did you mention parchment paper?
Parchment paper, I didn't, but they do speak about parchment paper. The ones with the OU, there's a whole stack here. The ones with the OUs are good. The star case are good. By the way, let me just speak of one more thing. Nobody asked about it. Quinoa.
What about it?
Huh?
And you didn't say anything about Play-Doh either.
Play-Doh's
hump.
Okay, you know.
What's the word of
the story with quinoa is like this. A lot of kashrus agency. By the way, quinoa must have a hechsher for Pesach if you're using it. Because they do make it near wheat factories. Okay? So if you use quinoa, it must have a hechsher for Pesach. OUP or KP, whatever it is. Most of the kashrus agencies in America maintain that quinoa is not kidneyous, not legume family. There are a lot of rabbanim that say it might be, it is. So again, some people use it, some people don't. If it's a staple in your diet and you want to use it, as long as it has a hechsher for Pesach, you can use it. If you can do without it, you should do without it. Yeah.
Regarding the garbage can, every year I get confused.
Vacuum cleaner bags also, we mentioned it last week. You have to empty out before Pesach, yeah?
So I live in an apartment building. The Hillel Hebrew Academy owns the building. The garbage cans, I think they belong to the city. They don't belong to us, because if they...
Hillel Hebrew Academy is in Beverly Hills. It's not on their property.
My house is not... I don't live in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
The city... If the garbage can is stolen, the city replaces it. I don't pay for it.
But Hillel might.
Hillel does not pay for it.
How do you know?
Because a few times the garbage can disappeared and I called them and they sent a new one.
Yeah, but happened? That doesn't mean Hillel didn't get the bill in the next month.
They water every month. You get a
water bill. You get a bill every month for garbage. It could be they added it to the bill. You don't know.
Am I supposed to hose it down?
Not if it's not yours, no.
It's not mine.
Any other questions or else that's it? Okay, Mitzvah Shem, next week we'll go, this year it's special because it's Friday night. There's a lot of things you can't do Friday night for the Seder. You have to do before Shabbos. So we'll discuss that stuff, eating chametz, selling chametz. Don't forget to sell your chametz. There's a halacha newsletter if you want to take. What?
You mentioned in the beginning that you should do whatever your husband does. Let's say your husband doesn't have any milk mix. Is it okay, like, for the wife?
I said before. That if the husband doesn't want to eat milchiks, doesn't mean the rest of the family shouldn't have eat milchiks.
Yeah, go for the milk.
Go for the go. Go for the go.